Well, aren't you glad you came today? You know, honestly, don't you love being with God's people? Anywhere, anytime, it's just wonderful. And I was sitting there thinking, what a privilege it is just to get to worship with you this morning. You know, Jesus said where two or three are gathered together in His name, He'd be in the midst of them. The great thing this morning, I'm glad all of you are here and others are watching and listening. We're thrilled about that. But I am most excited that the Lord is among us today. And nothing quite like the presence of our great God. We sang a hymn just a moment ago. You could not have chosen a more appropriate hymn. You could not have chosen a more appropriate hymn. And the first words of that hymn are these: in the dark of the midnight. That's where we're living, you see. This is midnight in America. That's what time it is. It's midnight in our world. And it's midnight for a lot of people. But when you get to the last verse of that great hymn, it starts this way: when the long night has ended. Yes, we're in it right now, but it's ending shortly, and a new day is dawning. And with that in mind, I want you to open your Bible with me again to Psalm 119. And we come today in our study to the section that begins with verse number 57. In the Bible study hour, we studied the previous section, and what a rich, rich section that was. Don't forget what you have. Notice how it ended, verse 56. This I had because I kept thy precepts. I say again, if you have God and His Word, you have everything that you need. And then notice the connection, because though they're divided into sections, it's all connected. Look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I've drawn a line in my Bible from verse 56, this I had, to verse 57, thou art my portion, O Lord. You see, you may feel like resources are ebbing low or strength is waning, but if you have the Lord as your portion, you have everything that you need. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. And here's our verse. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Now, I'd like to preach to you from every one of those verses, but I want to zero in on one verse today. Will you permit me? One verse. And it is verse number 62. Would you read it out loud with me? Let's all read the Word of God aloud. Psalm 119 and verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Let's read it one more time. Ready? At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I want you to take your pen in hand and mark the first two words of that verse. At midnight. I was looking this week. Midnight is mentioned 14 times in our Bible. And certainly it is a record of a time of day, or a time rather in the middle of the night, but it's more than that. It is symbolic of so many things. Let me prove what I mean. Hold your place here just a second and go back with me to the book of Exodus. Would you go to Exodus with me? This is the first mention of midnight in the Bible. And the law of first mention says that the first time you find something recorded in Scripture, it sets a precedent. It gives a little foundation to every place else that it's found. Look at Exodus 11. This is in the midst of the plagues in Egypt and the deliverance of God's people. Verse number 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord. Read the next two words with me. Ready? About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. Significant, isn't it, that the first time you find midnight in the Bible, it is not connected to man, it is connected to God. That God is the one that chose the time. Don't forget that. God is the one who chooses to go out about midnight and to do His work. And by the way, it's judgment on one hand for the wicked, for the Egyptians, but blessed be the Lord, don't ever forget, it's deliverance on the other hand for God's people. Turn a page. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 29. See, God always
does what he says and does it right in his time. Verse 29, and it came to pass that, would you read the next two words, church? At midnight. Sound familiar? At midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. You want to talk about a midnight hour in a nation. The firstborn in every house dying, people brokenhearted, and mothers weeping and wailing, death on every hand. It was midnight in Egypt. On our way back to Psalm 119, stop off in Job just for a second. This is the oldest book in the Bible. We referenced it earlier in our study today. Now look at Job 34. Elihu is speaking, Job 34 and verse number 20. He says, in a moment shall they die, and the people shall be, would you mark these words, troubled at midnight and pass away. Job 34, 20, troubled at midnight, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. Do you know what the midnight hours reveal? Watch this, please. The midnight hours reveal that we are nothing and God is everything. The trouble hours reveal that man is weak, but God is strong. I think sometimes in the midnight hours that we forget God works the night shift. Aren't you glad God works the night shift? Now, the Lord is wide awake, very alert, and very active at the time when nobody else sees and nobody else knows and nobody else can help. Praise God, our Lord works at midnight. What is midnight? I've been pondering this expression all week this week. What is at midnight? Midnight is the dark time. When the sun sets, when the shadows come, when you can't see your way through. It's the dark hours. And there are times when darkness pervades all around us, when the lights go out. Could I just remind us all that it was at the darkest hour this earth has ever known that the greatest light shone. Do you remember Christ hanging on that cross? Midnight in the middle of the day when God the Father turned His back on His own Son. And a cry pierced the darkness, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Isn't that what we always ask at the midnight hour? Why, Lord? Why aren't You near? Why are You allowing this to happen? But may I remind you that God the Father answered that question, that on this side of the cross, we know the why. Christ was forsaken so we could be restored. He took our hell so we could take His heaven. He took our sin so we could take His righteousness. He took our death so we could take His life. He took our darkness at that midnight hour at noon so that we could take His eternal light. I say again, at the darkest hour in history, the light of the world shone the brightest, and a way was made into God's perfect light for us. So never question. You may question what God is doing, but never question if God is up to something in the dark hours. What is midnight? It's not just the dark time, it's the lonely time. It's when Christ was forsaken. Maybe you're there. I know some lonely people right now. Some of them can't be with anybody, nobody can be with them. There are lonely hours in the middle of the nighttime hours when nobody can speak to you and you can't speak to anybody else. Aren't you glad that the Lord's ear is still open to our prayers? His eye is on His children. He has every hair on your head numbered. God has never forgotten you, never failed you, and never forsaken you, and He's not about to start today. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He's the one that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the world. Amen to that. What is midnight? It's a dark hour. It's a lonely hour. You remember it was the hour in 1 Kings when the widow woman had a little baby stolen from her. She said, about midnight, that other woman came and stole my son away. Bad things happen at midnight. We understand that. I'll tell you what else midnight is. It's not only a dark hour and a lonely hour. It's the closing hour. It's the last hour of the day. It's the time when you're coming to the end of a thing. Oh, but don't miss this. It's not just the closing hour. It's the first hour. It's the threshold hour. Aren't you glad when you get to the end with God, it's never really an end. It's just a new beginning. God never leads you to a dead end. He leads you to an open door that when you get to midnight, you start a new day and God's mercies are new every morning. I say again, in the dark, lonely closing hours of a circumstance or situation, the Lord is at work.
consistently in Scripture. Let me tell you what the midnight hour is. The midnight hour is the hour that demonstrates the presence and power of Almighty God. The question is not, is God working at midnight? The question is, what are we supposed to do? When you get to the midnight hour, what are you supposed to do? Well, let's answer it from Scripture. What do you say? All three answers are found in one verse. Isn't it amazing how much truth God packs into one verse of Scripture? Would you write them down somewhere? Because this will help you, not just today on a Sunday morning, this will help you at the midnight hour. What can you do when midnight comes? Number one, would you write this down? At midnight, we can pray. Did you notice the context of the passage? The psalmist is speaking not to others first. He is speaking to God first. In fact, I would challenge you, read through all of Psalm 119, all 176 verses. Now, don't do it while I'm preaching. Do it on your own time, all right? But read through Psalm 119. You know what I've discovered? Psalm 119 is Scripture. It is Scripture. And this is interesting. It's Scripture about Scripture. That's what Psalm 119 is all about. But it is not just Scripture. Psalm 119 is an actual prayer. It is the heart cry of the psalmist to God laying hold on the Word of our God. May I tell you, that's what God wants you to do in the Bible. God didn't just want you to read the Bible. God wants you to meet Him in the Bible. God wants to speak to you, and yes, God wants you to speak to Him. Look, when you approach Scripture, you ought to come with an attitude of prayer and a desire not just to learn something, but to get a hold of God and to commune with Almighty God. And so what does the psalmist do first? He prays. They ask old George Mueller near the end of his life. Mueller had a lot of midnight hours, praying in all that money to take care of the orphans and never asking for a dime. And they asked Mueller near the end of his life, they said, how'd you get through all the difficulties of your life? And Mueller laughed and said, that was easy. He said, I got up every morning, and he said, I got down on my knees and I started reading my Bible. And he said, I read until I found one of God's promises. And then I put my finger on that promise and I looked up to heaven and I said, God, you promised and I'm claiming this one today. And Mueller said, there was never a day that I laid hold on the promises of God and claimed it in prayer that God was not faithful to keep His Word. Oh, aren't you glad that no matter what you're dealing with or where you are or what time of night it is, God is listening to the prayers of His children. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I submit to you that many of God's great and mightiest things are revealed in the midnight hour. At midnight you can pray. Let me give you an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. Stay with me a second. Go back to the book of Ruth just for a minute. Now look at Ruth chapter number 3. There's a beautiful picture here of Ruth, the redeemed one, drawing near to the kinsman redeemer who is Boaz. That's a beautiful type of our nearness to Christ and our access to the redeemer. And look at Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 8. And it came to pass, see if these two words don't sound vaguely familiar, at midnight. If a man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now the culture and the context was very different and a little unusual to us. But he's sleeping in the middle of the night. She needs to be redeemed. And so she comes in and she just lays down at his feet. It's a picture of beautiful submission. And he wakes up and he's startled a little bit and he says, who is down there? And she says, I'm your handmaid. I'm your servant girl. Would you redeem me? Would you provide for me? Would you take care of me? Oh, I love this. Look at verse 10. And he said, what's the first word out of his mouth? Look at it, verse 10. What does he say, church? He said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Because she sought him in the midnight hour, what does she get? She gets the blessing. May I say to you, at the midnight hour, when you are poor and needy, rejoice that the Lord thinks upon you. When you have nothing, rejoice that His grace is all sufficient. Look, draw near to the nail-pierced feet of Jesus. And announce yourself as His servant and say to the Lord, Lord, I just need you. And I'll tell you what the Lord will do at that moment. God will bring blessing in the midst of your midnight hour. At midnight you can pray. Let me give you a New Testament example. You know this one well. Go to Acts 16 with me just a moment. Paul and Silas arrested and thrown in jail. And if that were not bad enough, they beat them.
And the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 25, did you ever notice this? And what time, church? Yeah, you don't even have to get there before you say it. What time is it? At midnight. I've got a classic old book in my library at home. I pulled it out this week on the night scenes of the Bible. I started flipping through that old book, the great night scenes of the Bible. And it reminded me again how God works when nobody sees and nobody expects. Look at Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, what's the first thing they did? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What's the first thing they did? Let me ask you a question. Why is that the last thing we do when it's the first thing we're supposed to do? You know what people do when they get in trouble? I'm going to tell you what they do. They tell everybody else about it. Why do you think social media is so popular? You know what social media is? It's a platform for all of us to vent everything we don't like. Every bad thing that happens and everything that doesn't go our way. Let me give you a recommendation. The next time the lights go out and midnight comes and trouble comes, instead of reaching for your phone to announce to the world how bad it all is, get on your knees and get in touch with heaven. Because watch this, please. You may tell everybody else and they can't help you, but the moment you get a hold of God, you have access to all of God's resources in Christ Jesus. You know why we like telling everybody else? Because we like pity. Yeah, we do. Don't act so pious. We all like pity. We want somebody to pat us on the back and say, well, bless your heart. Probably nobody's had it any harder than you and Job. What a hard time you're having right now. But I'm going to tell you, pity won't get you through. Only the power of God will get you through. And you get power when you come to God in prayer. I say again, at midnight, number one, you can pray. Go back to Psalm 119 with me just for a moment, would you please? I'll tell you what, on your way back, stop off at Luke just for a second. Let me just show you this. We got a moment to do this. Look at Luke chapter 11. And Jesus gave a wonderful parable about prayer. You know it. It's the one where he taught the model prayer. And then he gives this illustration. Look at verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him, what time? At midnight. And saying to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. You see the picture here? At midnight, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got no resources. I got no sustenance. It's all right. The friend does. Look at verse 7. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he'll rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know what I discovered? Midnight is the perfect time to have a prayer meeting. Midnight is prayer time. That's what it is. It is the time to get in tune with the Lord and lay it all out before God and know God is listening. You remember in the book of Acts one night Paul got long-winded preaching. And he preached till midnight. Anybody remember that story? He preached so long, by the way, I'm not going to do that, so relax, all right? He preached till midnight, and he preached so long, old Eutychus fell asleep. Remember that? Paul had to raise him from the dead. I thought of that this week, and I was studying this passage, and the thought that came to me, about midnight, I'm getting a little groggy. I don't know about you. About midnight, I need to stop and find a place to rest about midnight. But aren't you glad at midnight, our God is still as awake and alert as he is at the noon hour in the middle of the day? God's ear is open to our prayer. Oh, blessed be the name of our prayer answering God. At midnight, you can pray. And as a footnote, could I recommend something to you? At the midnight hour, don't just pray for you, pray for others. Remember, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. God may put you through some midnight, and it is not about you. It's for somebody else, and it's in the midst of that midnight that God may use you to be a real intercessor. At midnight, you can pray. Now let's go back to Psalm 119, and let me give you a second thing you can do at midnight. At midnight, you can pray, and secondly, at midnight, you can praise. Look at the verse. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. I've marked that phrase, I will rise, in my Bible. People start talking about how difficult it is, and after a while they're so beaten down, they're going down, not up. The Christian life is an ascending life. The path of the just has a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I got good news, church. We are not going down, we are going up in the end. Old Dr. Robertson used to say, 2 men behind prison bars, one looked at the mud, the other looked at the stars. Get your head up, church. Lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. We will rise, but notice what really lifts here. He said, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. We talk about the power of prayer, but I want to submit to you there's power in praise. Old Lester Roloff said, sometimes you can praise your way through things you can't pray your way through. There's probably somebody listening to me right now, and you're trying to pray your way through something, and you feel like your prayer isn't getting any headway, and nothing's changing. Let me recommend something to you. Why don't you stop just asking and start adoring for a few moments? Why don't you stop just begging God and start blessing the Lord? Why don't you turn the thing around and turn your prayer into praise? See, there's power in praise. Why is it? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. You want the Lord's near presence? Praise your way through the thing. Let's go back to Acts just for a second. We were in Acts 16. We just read the first part of it, but keep reading. Look at Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's the first thing they did. And they did a second thing. They sang praises unto God. I like this. And the prisoners heard them. What a beautiful testimony. And I tell you, at midnight, when you don't think anybody's watching your life, somebody's watching your life. Somebody's wondering if the God you say is more than enough is really more than enough or not. They're wondering if you've lost your song. They're wondering if you can still praise God in jail at midnight. And I love this picture. Here are two preachers. You know what preachers love to do more than anything? Preach. I'm just testifying right now, preachers. It's in us. God puts it in you, and it's like the measles. It breaks out on you. You just want to preach. But watch this. Here are two preachers that can't preach. They're locked up in jail. They can't get a crowd. They can't hold a service. They can't conduct an evangelistic crusade in Philippi at this juncture. So watch this, please. When they cannot do what they really want to do, let me show you what they do. They just start praising God. And look, it's not this way. Oh, it's going to affect a lot of people, but it's this way. It's the Godward life. It's not earthly, it's heavenly. Oh, I love it. It's not natural, it's supernatural. They just start overflowing with praise to God. And out of the overflow of their praise, God changes everything. May I say it this way? Out of their praise, God turned the lights on. He turned the lights on. At midnight in that jail, all the lights have been put out. The lights have been extinguished for the night. But God sends an earthquake. What's the first thing the jailer does? He calls for a what? He calls for a light. Suddenly light enters into that darkness. And it wasn't just the light of that lantern that came either. It was the glorious light of the gospel of Christ that saved that jailer and his whole family, set in motion a spiritual awakening in Philippi. Where do you think the book of Philippians came from? God did something in Philippi. When did it start? Blessed be the Lord. It started at midnight. When nobody thought any big thing was going on. You know, our Christianity has become far too public. I mean by that, excuse me, we have Instagram Christianity. It's got a filter on it. It's built for public consumption. It functions well when we dress up and come to church on Sunday morning. But I say to you that a genuine faith doesn't just work at noon on Sunday. It works at midnight any night. And it doesn't just work in public. It works in private. When nobody sees, look, you can praise God and know that God is there. Since you're in Acts, just keep turning over. Come on over to Acts 27. Because it didn't just work in jail, it worked in the storm. Acts 27 is the record of Paul on board a ship in the middle of a major storm. And notice what God does. Acts 27:27. When the 14th night was come, by the way, think about that, 14 nights of this. You don't know how long the night's going to come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, would you mark the next two words in verse 27? About what? Midnight. The shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they'd gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They think they're going to die. Shipwreck. I've marked in my Bible about midnight, in verse 29, they're fearing. About midnight, verse 29, they're wishing. That sounds a lot like people today, doesn't it? Gripped by fear, wishing for things to change. Listen to me, church. Stop fearing and stop wishing and start praying and praising.
What does Paul do? He gets in a quiet place by himself and goes to God in prayer. And look at verse 35. He comes out to speak to the people. When he had thus spoken, he took bread and, mark these two words, gave thanks. Do you remember our verse, Psalm 119:62? At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. What does Paul do? He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. Isn't it amazing how praise changes things? Could I point something out? They're still on the ship, they're still in the sea, and they're still in the storm, but something has changed. Not on the outside, on the inside. Oh, this is wonderful. God has designed it so when we start praising God, He gets glory and we get grace. Isn't that just like the Lord to make it so that what it lifts Him up also causes us to rise? Isn't it just like the Lord to make it so that praise will bring you to another level with the Lord and bring some good cheer back in the midst of the storm? Do you see the connection between prayer and praise in all of these? And do you see the connection between prayer and praise and the midnight hour? Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Stop mumbling and bemoaning what you don't have. Stop whining and instead pray and praise at midnight. Let me give you one more. Go back to our verse. Because really this is the emphasis of the verse and of the whole psalm. Verse 62 of Psalm 119 at midnight. I will rise to give thanks unto thee because. What causes us to pray? What causes us to praise? What is it that increases our faith and courage in the midnight hour? Because of thy righteous judgment. The word judgment's here. Just one of the many references in this psalm to Scripture, to truth. He calls it precepts and testimonies and all kinds of things. Here, it's judgments. That's interesting, isn't it? See, when things are really dark, do you know what the human spirit cries out for? Justice. Let me ask you a question. Have you been a little aggravated and annoyed by the lack of justice we see in our world at this time? Me too. And you know what we want to do? We want to fuss about it. And we want to make it right. You know what I've learned? Fussing doesn't change it, and you can't make it right. But let me tell you who is the righteous judge. It is the Lord. And God's way is always right, and God's word is always right. Oh, I love this. Look at it. Would you mark it? Thy righteous judgments. I am not always right. You are not always right. Other men are not always right, and circumstances certainly are not all right. But let me tell you what's all right. God's Word is always right. Because God's Word is rooted in His character, in His nature. And where do we find our strength at midnight? You find it in the Word of the living God. Do you need strength? You feel a little weak? You need some fresh courage? Let me tell you what you need. You need a double dose of the Word of God. There's no such thing as an overdose of Scripture. Did you know that? You can take as much of it as you want, as much of it as you will. Because watch, as you put the Word in, God quickens and God gives strength. Do you remember the story of Samson? In the middle of the night, do you remember the story of Samson? They laid wait for him and they were going to kill him. And the Bible says, you can read it for yourself in the book of Judges, at midnight. Isn't that interesting? Same time. At midnight, Samson rose up, lifted up the gates of the city off their hinges, and carried them outside the city. You know what that is? That is not Samson. That is the supernatural strength of Almighty God. And when did it come upon him? At midnight. You know what I believe? I believe in the hardest seasons and the darkest hours, God proves His strength. And you know why He does it then? Because then we don't take any credit for it. God alone gets the glory. Somebody has to say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. May I say something to this church this morning? This should not be a time for low expectations. This should be a time for us to expect big things from our big God. We shouldn't be praying little prayers right now. We ought to be praying big prayers and believing God to do something out of the ordinary, because it's in times just like this at midnight where God does His greatest work. So what's the third thing we can do? Would you write it down? At midnight, you can pray. It's a good starting point. At midnight, you can praise. Lift your prayers to worship, and then number three, at midnight, you can ponder the Word of God. Think on the Word. Meditate in Scripture. Spend time in the Bible. Every day, let this year be a year of the Bible in your life. Not just Sundays. Let every day be a day where you ponder the Word of God and allow the Lord to work deeply in you. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. At midnight, God teaches His greatest truths. A little over 6 years ago, I went through the darkest season of my life. And looking back on it, I think, that was the dawn of a new day. That was God's light coming. But at the time, it was dark. God uprooted us from where we were. God shook my world, turned it all upside down, caused us to leave the place by divine call where I'd served for 2 decades, the place where our kids knew and loved, the place that was home, and step out by faith into evangelistic work. And I got to tell you, it was like the lights went out. There was a numb feeling to it, searching for God, trying to understand. Do you know what I remember most from that season? It was during that season of my life that God taught me more from the Bible than He had at any point to that juncture. It was like the Scripture came alive. It was like the Word opened up to me. You know why? Because God's Word is the lamp for your feet and the light for your path. And as you ponder on the Word of God at midnight, God will give you exactly what you need. Let's end in the New Testament, shall we? We've spent a great deal of time here in the Psalms today. Go with me to Matthew for just a moment. Let me show you something else that's getting ready to come at midnight. I don't know the hour of the day. No man knows the day or the hour, but symbolically, it'll be the dark time, the midnight hour. Look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 6. Jesus is teaching about His coming. And He says in verse 5, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." That sounds a lot like the spiritual condition of our world right now, doesn't it? Verse 6, "And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.'" Hey, at midnight. You know what midnight is? It's not just the dark hour, the lonely hour, the last hour. It is the hour when people are least expected. Let me ask you, do you expect somebody to ring your doorbell or knock on your door at midnight? Yes or no? No. In fact, you hope they don't do that, right? And let me tell you something about Jesus. He makes house calls at midnight when people least expect Him. Hey, friends, the Lord is near now and the Lord is coming soon. Turn over a few more pages and come to Mark. Look at Mark chapter 13 and verse number 35. "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even..." Or mark it in your Bible, Mark 13, 35, "at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And church, I came to say to you this morning, yes, it may be midnight in our land and midnight in your life, but it's at midnight where the Lord does His greatest work. Do you know where we're headed? We're headed very shortly, don't know exactly when, but very shortly, to the land where there is no night. There'll be no midnight in heaven. What do you think about that? So the last midnight you will ever know is on this earth. And it's at midnight where God has given you the opportunity, the privilege, the honor of proving His faithfulness, of praying and praising and pondering on the Word of God and proving that the Lord is enough at any time in your life. George Young was a country preacher. That's what he was. Not an educated man, but a man that loved the Bible and loved God. And he was a faithful pastor. He pastored a small country church in a little rural village, and George just gave his life to God. He had built that house where they lived with his own hands. They had no money to speak of, but with his own bare hands, he had built the little house that he and his wife lived in. And they were happy there. And one night, George and his family went to a neighboring town to preach in another little church. And while they were gone, some boys in their hometown that didn't like the preacher decided to do mischief. And they set fire to his house. Burned it to the ground. And when George and his wife got back late that night at midnight, their home was gone. Can you imagine? Everything they owned on earth, gone in a moment at midnight. George's wife said that he went into a depression, a dark season. It wasn't just physical and material, it was emotional and mental and spiritual, and he struggled. Oh, they would rebuild a house, and they would go on, and he would keep pastoring, but he was having a hard time. And she said one day George came through the house
and his countenance had changed. It was bright. There was light on it again. And she said, "What's happened to you?" And he said, "The Lord has done something for me." And he said, "I've written a song." And he sat down and began to play it. I'd like to share it with you, and I'm not going to sing it for you. You can be grateful to God. There's something to praise God for, all right? Would you take your hymn book out? We started with a hymn today. Let's end with a hymn. In your hymn book, it's hymn 488. And at the top, you'll see his name, G.A. Young. That's George. And it was written out of one of the midnight hours of his life. Here's what he wrote: "In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. And sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes, God leads his dear children along. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along." But don't miss the chorus. "Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long." Whether you're living in the daylight or the midnight, God's leading you, dear children, and you can trust Him. Our Father, I thank You for the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And I ask that this day, this moment, the Spirit of the living God may work in our hearts and open the truth to us. Yea, Holy Ghost, turn the light on. And in the midst of the midnight, give us a glimpse of Thee. Our heads are bowed and we sit quiet.